another episode of Four Dudes in America. My name is Lamon, your moderator, and I have my team on the line with us today, hopefully bring you another exciting podcast. I'm going to let them go ahead and introduce themselves.
What up, y'all? This is Terrell. We appreciate y'all for tapping in with us. Get ready for another great episode.
Hey, how y'all doing? This is Myron. Thank you guys for tuning in. We got something in store for you.
What's up, everybody out there? This is J5. I appreciate the love and the audience. Feel free to continue to join in.
This is JC Young, live in effect, ready to get this thing cracking.
Okay, fellas, that was a nice introduction. We didn't take like a long time. We had to hit the reset button like we did last week. The prior week, so we haven't recorded in a couple of weeks. You know, I was on a little slight vacation and celebrating my wedding anniversary. I was back.
Let's tap into that, man. How your anniversary go, dude?
It was cool, man. It was cool. I enjoyed myself. Me and my wife enjoyed each other. You know, it was what it was. You know what I'm saying? 15 years of marriage. You know, we got to clap it up for that. And that's about it.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But, yeah, so I want to get into this.
Hey, hold on. No, hey, shout out to Lucero. Shout out to Lucero.
Definitely.
But I got a question. How have you sustained yourself this long? You know, in your marriage, how did you stay in it this long? And what are some tools that you could give us, you know, our younger, the younger people who've been married like 3, 4, 5 years?
You know, I'm going to say this. I have not been perfect throughout my whole marriage. But I think one thing that needs to happen in marriage as you go through the nuances of learning each other. Marriage is not a destination, it's a process. You're going to continue to learn each other. Also, keep the line of communication open, because if you don't keep that open, it lends itself to other issues down the line. Communication is the pivotal point in marriage. And if you don't have that, and if that's not the forefront of your marriage, you will have issues. Also, keep God first. You know, put God in your marriage. Make sure He's with you, because at the end of the day, it's going to take more than two people coming together. It's going to take another higher being to keep y'all together. So keep the lines of communication open, always respecting each other and know that you have two individuals trying to be perfect for one another. It's going to be issues. It's going to be problems. Just address those problems head on together and not separately. And you guys can withstand any obstacles or any trials and tribulation that your marriage might have in the future. So just communicate. Know that y'all two are together. It's y'all against the world. Nobody else. Y'all got to get back to back and fight the world together.
I like that. My, if I had a sound effect machine, I'd drop a clue bomb on that. I like that.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. I think another thing on that too is, one thing that people don't think about is, you know, to be married that long, y'all are not the same two people that you were when you got married.
That's very important. I like
that. You know what I'm saying? So like y'all have been married 15 years. You are not the same person you was 15 years ago. Neither is she.
No.
But then if married people don't take the time to understand and learn each other as each other grows, you'll be looking for the person or remembering or thinking about the person you married 15 years ago, and she ain't even there.
Right. Yeah. So that's crucial. You know, that's a crucial statement. But however, you know, marriage is a process. Marriage is work, man. Everything ain't swing, you know, in marriage. You ain't gonna be swinging from the chandeliers every night.
Right.
No. You know what I'm saying? That ain't gonna happen. That ain't marriage, bro. It ain't gonna be a happy ending all the time, every night you go to sleep. You know, your wife gonna be mad at you. You gonna be mad at her. Y'all gonna be mad at Mississippi Road Lizards at each other.
Well, I think life takes its course, especially when you got demanding jobs and you got kids. It definitely ain't gonna be that every night. But I got a question real quick for the two non-married people, Jonathan and Jason Young. Number one, do you guys aspire to be married one day? And what are some things that have made you want to be married? and what are some things that kind of turn you off from marriage that you've seen or heard?
Good question, Myron. Good question.
Jason, you want
to answer that?
Don't delegate nothing, Jason.
Go ahead.
Handle it. What y'all scared? Hello, right? Answer the question.
Nah, I mean, okay, I'll take it. So, good question, Myron. Yes, I come from a good family. So, with that being said, whoever I marry, she gotta have a lot of energy. Tear it up. No, on some real shit though. No, I really do want to be married, but she has to be right. But you know, she has to fit my soul. And you know, I stated this previous on a few podcasts, you know, a bit ago, that my woman has to support me like no other. You know, kind of like an attorney to his client. Kind of like what Lamont said. You know, you two got to have each other's back. And I guess one thing that would turn me off from marriage is being unsupportive. You know, why would I be with you and be married to you if you're not supporting me? You know,
Hold on, Jason, let me, because I need you to clarify, because people are, when you say support you, that's a broad yeah. statement, and a lot of people might not follow what you're saying, and they might take your words wrong. Clarify what you mean by supporting you.
Well, supporting, that means having my back like no other. You know, basically anything I feel is virtue to our success, you need to be there. You know, you need to be there to support me. You need to see my vision. You need to encourage me on a day in and day out basis. You know, you need to go beyond the call of duty like I would go for you. You know, I need you to scratch my back when I tell you I don't need my back scratched. You know, it's just little things like that. You just have to be on the same page.
Well,
you have to be.
I don't mean to interject real quick, but you said she has to see your vision. It ain't her job to see your vision. Her job is to support and acknowledge that you have a vision. You know what I'm saying? She ain't got to see what you see, because as a man, you the head. So she have to follow.
I agree. That I should have tweaked it a bit. Basically, she needs to be there to also support with any positive and profitable endeavors that I and the family may have.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you, but you got to clarify it. Like, it's not her. Like, she's not supposed to see the vision at first. Our job as a husband is to write the vision and make it plain.
Right. I agree. Right,
so our job, like, we have to show them, meaning the wife and kids, what the vision is.
Yeah, but also too, when I say that she don't supposed to see your vision right away, I was just saying, like, let's say you start a business and right. she might not jump on board right away because she don't know about the, she don't see it right away. So you got to give her time to see it, because as men, right. we just go jump. You know what I'm saying? They need time to see it. And if it do come into fruition, then they can jump on board. Now, the support, like Jonathan said, I need her to support me. But you can support and not understand the visioning. That's what it is. Until she gets grasp it, because it's like she going into foreign territory. Like, I can start a business. She may not know about what the business I'm starting, but she can support me in ways I ask her to support me in. Now, if I need you to promote my business, okay, help me promote it, but from another front, I wouldn't ask her or demand her to fully buy into a vision she don't really understand until she see it.
JC, what do you think about this?
Yeah,
I mean, am I open to marriage? Yeah, probably more than I ever been in my life. Yeah.
You open to marriage, man? Oh, man. Hey, y'all hear that, ladies? He's single, and he's ready to tab down.
Hey, Mont, did nobody ask for all that, dude? What was I finna say? My only fear as far as marriage, it might be basic to some, but my fear, for the most part, is just, you know, giving your all to an individual, and at some point, it just maybe it not being enough for that individual. I know personally, per se, as far as like relationship wise, it's very hard for me to become attached to someone. So when I do, I just feel like my biggest fear would be is it just not being good enough. But as far as marriage itself, you know, delegating between the three of you, it shows its perks of being married. So yeah, I'm very much open to that opportunity in my life. I'm not gonna say what I'm looking for specifically in a wife, but I know the one trait that I do look for is that I want her to be that woman where I know I'm afraid to lose that woman. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that'd be the one for me that I just feel like that woman that I know that I just don't want to be without in this world.
Oh man, you hear that, ladies? He said that's real deep, ladies. He said he want to find the one to make him sit on down and make him feel like she the one all the time. He needs that.
Hey, why you sound like the pastor from Coming to America? What was his name?
That's funny.
Randy Watson. But yeah, but let's move on to something more serious, man. You know, Deshaun Watson, man, these allegations are ridiculous. Do anybody got any input on that?
Like, anybody research that? In the background, man.
Oh, okay. Well, Deshaun Watson is the quarterback for the Houston Texans. You know, in the beginning of this offseason, he the Texans organization has been in turmoil with you know, how to run an organization. He was supposed to be in tune with what the organization is going to do as far as hiring a new coach or GM. And happily, he was shut out from that. So he demanded a trade. And once he demanded a trade, you know, they're not willing to trade him. So maybe, I want to say 2 weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago, 2-3 weeks ago, allegations started coming out in rapid forms. And like, it was just coming out. Like, you have 16 women saying that he sexually assaulted them. 16 women. And this is all civil. It's not criminal yet at this point. But he has 16 women saying that he inappropriately did something to them. And man, it's just hard. Like, I'm trying to figure out, man, is this really true?
What was the allegation like? What was it?
Hey, JCI, I don't want to mess this up. Do you know the specifics of the allegations?
There really aren't any specifics. The last I heard of it was he may or may have an embryo situation where a few of them have felt uncomfortable, but they didn't say like any acts were performed or any acts were forced or anything like that. There was a text message exchange between him and one of the masseuse, and he let her know that, hey, if you feel uncomfortable, I'm sorry, but I hope that we can do business again in the future. So that was indicating that maybe she did feel uncomfortable, but not necessarily a line was crossed. She just may have felt uncomfortable. But by him allowing him to say, hey, can we continue to do business in the future, that may have speculated to a point where, like I said, nothing with intent happened. But she may have felt uncomfortable in a specific moment. But I don't think any unfortunate acts were, you know, incorporated in those acts.
Yeah, I think they were saying in the text message, like, I know one of them, they were saying that he had went to a massage parlor, and he was going to get a massage from a woman, and he had asked her if she was comfortable, you know, going all the way with it, like giving him a happy ending type of thing. And so she using that as a, you know, as a contention of her being uncomfortable. But like, one of the things that alarms me though, obviously, is the timing of it. And all these suits, they're all civil suits. They're not criminal suits. So they're coming after him for the money. It's a civil suit. And I think it's they're trying to drag his name through the mud right now.
Well, you know, whatever case it may be, man, we just gonna pray for that. You know, gotta pray for him and hope all is well. And, you know, potentially pray for the victim as well, because we don't know the story or the outcome of this situation. So, isn't it best for us to, you know, just, you know, keep you know, victim and, you know, Deshaun Watson.
Hold on. Before we kind of, because we kind of glossed over this, like, we got to dig into it a little deeper. And not necessarily just the Deshaun Watson situation, but the situation in the whole, like, with the climate today and the world that we live in, it makes it very difficult to even approach. Like, how do you even approach a female now? Like, the lines have been pushed so far that almost anything can be considered sexual harassment or, you know, sexual assault. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm a single guy out here in America, and, you know, let's say I'm at the workplace or something, and I see a coworker that I may be interested in. Like, nowadays, it's almost too risky to even try to approach that female. You know, because anything you say, she can say, okay, he made me feel uncomfortable, and she can file a suit against you if she really wanted to.
Yeah, it's a very sensitive, hypersensitive thing right now. It's very hypersensitive, and there's no really guard against it. You know, there's no guard against it, because if a woman come out and say,
it has to be.
Well, at this point, as you can see with Deshaun Watson and other, you know, previous cases related to this thing, it's no guard to that. There's no defense to that, because you got to look at Bill Cosby. This man is 80 years old, and how many people came out and said he sexual assault him? They spiked his.
Man, look, check it out, man. Y'all on some other look. These hoes is blackmailing him. They been paid to do that. I don't know why y'all don't want to call it how y'all see it. Ain't no deal. I'm not gonna say it didn't happen, but I highly doubt that this shit did not go down. First of all, like Hal said, the timing of it is very questionable. All of a sudden, he tell these guys, the owners and the front office, that he don't want nothing to do with them, nothing. And now all of a sudden, these things has been coming out. And I don't know if it was Jason that reported that he seen something
allegedly.
That the organization, the owner was cool with the lead prosecutor. Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? Allegedly. Like, come on, y'all. Like, look, like, and like Hal said, like, I do be nervous to approach women, but at the same time, this is the oldest trick in the book, y'all. Look what happened to Tupac back in the day. I say it all the time. You know what I'm saying? Look what happened to the governor in New York. Women coming out of nowhere. Like, all this, man, like, that's the oldest trick in the book, is to get women to lie and say, oh, he did this, he did that. Like, come on, man. Like, do certain shit happen? You do got some sick motherfuckers in the world that do stuff like this. I'm not saying that, ladies. You do have women, guys, that take advantage of women. But when you're looking at instances like this, it's too fishy. It's too fishy, right? I just think they're being paid to lie, to drag this man through the dirt, and the Houston organization is like, okay, cool. You don't want nothing to do with us. We're gonna make it's basically like a crazy ass ex. You don't want to be with me.
Now let me ask this question.
So that's basically what it is. If I can't have you, ain't nobody have you.
Are those rich nigga problems? Like, do you have to be of, you know, fame and fortune? Mm. For them to be coming at you like that, like do us as the average human beings, the average males walking up, you know, in America, do we yes. have them yes. same yes. issues?
Yeah, hold on.
But
let me ask. I think that we do to a certain extent. However, the money, the thirstiness for the money grab, ain't gonna be as. Intensified as it is, because like the average guy, we ain't finna break nobody off millions and millions of dollars for yeah. hush money. We ain't got yeah. it like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, a celebrity or a rapper, they can pay a bitch 30, 40, 50,000 to get the fuck out of my face and go and sit down somewhere. You know what I'm saying? But us, like, what are you doing it for? Like, you, if you
I
do it,
that,
if somebody does, then they really have like a.
Yeah, you're right. I agree issue, with you.
And they're trying to destroy
Deshaun Watson period. Thing, Jonathan. But, I think that when it comes to the accusations, even if they're found not to be true, the allegation alone can tarnish your reputation. And I think right. that it affects right. more right. than just, you know, rich people. I agree with Jonathan. When it comes to rich people, it's about the money. Because they just take them to civil court. They don't file any criminal charges against them. So they're going after a money grab. I think if it comes to like the everyday average person who's not a millionaire, then they will try to seek criminal charges against that person. And another thing, I don't think I would ever, and even before I was married, I would try to talk to a girl on my job because of this. Ever.
I don't think it's a rich nigga problem per se, but I think it's more of a when you tell them no, or you go against what they want you to do, the narrative of what they want you to do, then they come with that clap back to do whatever they got to do to show you who got the real power. It's kind of a flex move out here, in my opinion, because he came at them as like, look, I ain't playing for y'all no more. I'm the franchise player. I'm about it here. And they thought to themselves, no. We'll let you know when we're done with you, per se. And so this is the shakedown or the effect of that. And I think, like, for us individuals like us, it just wouldn't be on a grand scale. And I think we can go through the same process, but nobody on TV or ESPN is worried about what we go through on that day-to-day or what we got to face. I think that's just the difference, is that it's the... AJ5, what you always call it, the status quo of what it is.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
So, what advice would y'all give? I got a 16-year-old son. I got a 10-year-old son. I got an 8-year-old son. We got little cousins. We got little brothers. What advice do we give them? How do we teach them how to operate? You know, because it was different for us coming up in the 90s and the 2000s. Like, it's a different world for them right now. So how would you tell them how to approach a female?
Man, listen. If I think the only safeguard
if she says no, pull your pants up.
Is give me 6 feet like COVID. I talk to you that way. That's it. That's it.
Hey, so you got to treat it like COVID.
Treat it like COVID, 6 feet. Seriously, man, because it's really, really, it's messed up. It's messed up. Because,
man.
Now, going forward, they're going to think that he just like to get touched by
homes. They're going to think he like to get his body touched off.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's...
Hey.
Hey, but...
Before you say something in regards to this topic, I want to give Mara the platform to talk about the George Floyd case and its process and the progress that's happening.
Wait, hold on, real quick, before we go to George Floyd, because I really want to just, and we don't got to spend a lot of time on it, but like we touched on this topic from the male standpoint. Like, I think it is only right, especially with the type of audience that we have, that we flip the coin and look at it from a female standpoint.
Yeah. I agree.
What do we think the female, like, so we already know the pressures of the male in America in 2021. What do you think out of the female pressures when it comes to this type of, you know, situation with sexual assault? Like, because I mean,
yeah,
it does happen. So like let's kind of touch on that real quick if we can.
Are you saying that men are being sexually assaulted by females? That's what you're saying?
No. Like when, if I'm a female. And I am getting unwarranted advances. Like let's kind of touch on that a little bit. I think,
you know, in regards to that, a woman, you know, just like we'll say to a man, look, speak up for yourself. Look, I don't like this. Don't talk to me like this. I don't see you like this. Give those warrants, you know, give those heads up. Look, I don't see you like this, dude. Just like, no.
I think we should have a woman come on maybe next time, or send in an answer to this question so we can see what they've been through.
Yeah. I think that, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think that's real. I think that's real dope.
We yeah, do because
that. Even if we have a Q&A or something like that. Yeah,
because if we can't answer that, we can't answer that because that's you know. You know, talking to a woman that experienced that or going through something like that, you need a woman's perspective for that. But all I can say, look, just say what you feel and mean what you say. That's it. If you say don't look at me like that, nigga, no, don't look at me like that, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only thing you can do.
Okay, no, okay, you know what, Mike? So like, so if what if your daughter? Because your daughter's how
she's
old 10, now?
She's 10, man. We ain't gonna talk about that. She's 10. I don't want to think about that. We can move on to another subject.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like, what if you know, if she came back and said, okay, well, this boy was talking to me this way and I ain't like it.
I'm going up to the school, have my gun loaded.
Well, you can't bring that Civil War gun up there. You need something new.
Okay, yeah. Let me tell you something. I'm going up to the school. I'm gonna say which point him out. I'm gonna take him back in the back of his book bag. I say, I'm gonna take his back in his book bag and say, listen here, you see her? Don't say nothing else. Or I'm coming back.
Hey, real. Hey, I kind of want to bring this up real quick, y'all. Like Hal said, I don't want to spend too much time. I just really want to throw this out there. Now, given the accusations, not accusations, how increasing these acquisitions appear to be. In this day and age, and I said accusations, brother, that they appear to be in this day and age. How do a man, like, I don't have a problem with it, but how do, in today's era, how do a young man that, you know, we all have, how do they look for their wives if they feel like, damn, I don't know how to approach her or how to say, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, how can women assure guys...
We need to be a creep. Don't be a nervous.
She finna call the police on that. Like, how do
you come on, Jonathan? How long you been in the game? You know what to say and what not to. No, listen. You know what to say and what not to say to a female to make her not feel uncomfortable. You know, if you just meet the female and say,
I want
to rub on your booty right now, nigga. How'd you think she gonna look at you?
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if she say no. If she say stop.
Yeah, but I think like how he's saying, you gotta be looking for a wife, like but you also have to be a husband. Like, you can't be no boyfriend looking for a wife,
man.
You
hey,
know what I'm saying,
where like, your past at? Because I'm gonna give you a love offer.
my, you say you gonna give a love offer, my. No, for real though, because she got to be a wife, like, you know what I'm saying. So like, you got to be a husband. I think that we got to take the time, like, we don't take the time enough to court people to understand, like it takes you a little bit of time, and I'm not talking about a month, 2 months, 3 months. Like, you need to, like, them first 3-4 months is all. That's honeymoon stages, right? Like, you ain't dating that person. You dating a representative. You know, they on the campaign. They shaking hands and kissing.
Man, come on, boy. You sound like your oldest cousin right now. What are you talking?
Question is fair, but I think it'll be better if we had a woman on to answer that. How would she like to be pursued? And, you know,
for sure.
She like. Yeah.
I think that's good.
That's good. So, hey.
Yeah. So let's table that and keep that there.
In school, we don't say table. We say we put that in the parking lot. So we're gonna put that in the parking lot. Put it in the parking lot. We'll come back to it.
What's up?
So Myron, give us the update about this George Floyd.
All right. Well, all 15 jurors have been picked. I'll give a description of each juror. There's 15. I'll do this real quick first. All right, juror number one is a white male in his 20s. He supports Black Lives Matters because all lives matters. Number two is a multiracial. It's a mixed female in her 20s. She has an uncle who's a cop, but she supports Black Lives Matters. Juror number three is white male, 30s. He has a negative view of Chauvin, the cop who kneeled on George Floyd, because he killed someone, which is George Floyd. Juror number four is a black male in his 30s. He's an IT manager. He's an immigrant. been in the U.S. for about 15 years, multilingual. He has a negative view of the cop. Juror number 5 is a white female in her 50s. She's in the healthcare field, single mom. And I think she supports Blue Lives Matter. Juror number 6, black male, 30s, in Bacon. He coached sports. He does not believe Chauvin had the intent to kill George Floyd. Juror number 7 is a white female in her 50s. She believes Derek Chauvin is innocent.
So they can go in there like with
this is the thing. The defense already? Can ask because they get to question the potential jurors first, and so they could ask them anything they want to mm-hmm. to try to find a jury of their peers. And yep, they're supposed to be impartial, but gotcha. Come on. It's hard to be impartial on this case because everybody has seen this video. So you're either going to be for against it. So that's just what it is. But we have another black male. He's in his 40s. He does not believe in defunding the police. Another mixed female. She's married. She don't believe the settlement that the George Floyd family means that they're guilty. There's a white male, female in her 50s, and she's not an expert witness. And it's just more. It's a mixture of people on this jury. And I think this is my prediction. I don't think there's going to be a not guilty because you have to have everybody on the same board to get the not guilty. Everybody, it has to be unanimous. And I think if you come in there, your viewpoint is so strong, you're going to stick to your viewpoint. So I think there's going to be a mistrial, or.
That's what I was going to say. Like if all of them don't vote, if all of them don't vote for either guilty or not guilty, then you're going to have a mistrial, correct?
Okay. So then
if they have a mistrial, then what's
going to happen? Yeah, pursue charges again. Now let me tell you this. I think they should if this happens, but it costs a lot of money. And that's going to be a big question whether they would pursue charges against them or not. So I'm not sure. I don't know. But
in the midst of a mistrial, and so what does that leave him? Can he be an active officer again or what?
He can no longer be an officer. Okay. I don't think he can't be an officer in Minnesota at all. I don't think nobody will hire him, but I don't think no one will hire him in the country because they don't want that name. They don't want to be attached to his name. You know?
But could he apply? Okay. But could he apply it like somewhere?
I don't think so.
If he chose to
after the mistrial? He can.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So Myron. So a mistrial meaning so it's not a guilty or innocent plea, right?
It just means that the jury was deadlocked and they cannot come up with a verdict.
So,
so like for me, right? Because I'm following everything that you
got to get 15.
Yeah. So look, because I'm following everything you're saying, Myron, and I don't. Okay, like how you said, there's a few of them that feel like he's not guilty. I don't see how you can convince. I don't see what else you can say to convince a person that he's not guilty. They saw it. Like there's nothing else. Like there's nothing else about the case that you can prove or bring out. Like, oh man, I didn't think about that. Or I didn't see that. Like it was, the recording was right there. So like, what else could the prosecutor? What else could they say to a person?
I think they should come in and they have to bring in his past files because he has 20 other incidents where he put a chokehold on people but they didn't die. So I think that has to come in, and I think if they bring in George Floyd's 2019 arrest, which they're trying to do because they said he was high at the same time, I think they have a right to bring in his record because they're trying to say, oh, in 2019 when he got arrested, he was on drugs. But my thing is, he may have been on drugs, but he lived, and those cops got him to the emergency room. So I don't see how that's the same. And the there was a juror who they questioned. It was an older white guy who said he could be impartial, but the more they questioned him, you could tell he was racist. And he was like, you know, you might as well. He brought up Dr. King. You know, they love to bring up the Dr. King card because that's the only person they know. And then he said, I hate that. And then he said, well, all the riots, they need to just go back to Chicago. And I was like, oh, no, he can't be on this jury. Hell no. No, they struck him off, but the defense filed a motion to keep him on. I was like, y'all crazy. Yeah.
Wow.
So let me say something. Hold on. I honestly think that in this particular case, I'm all for my peers to judge what the fuck took place. But in this particular case, I will almost tell the prosecutors to have the judge decide the fate in this case. Because I think them jurors is full of shit. I would put it in the judge.
Halfway through the jury selection process. I did make a comment and say that I think Derek Chauvin is not going to get a fair trial, and I think he should have opted for a bench trial because I don't see how he think he's going to convince people that what he did was the right thing and he should be not guilty.
But at the same time, you got people who really don't care about whatever he was right or wrong. You got people on the jury. Like, I think for him, his best bet is a mistrial. I think his best bet is to have a jury trial because you're going to have people that can see it for what it is and are okay with it. I just, me personally, and this is speaking for me, I don't see him getting charged with a crime. I just don't. Now, do I believe he did a crime? 100%. But this country hasn't shown me true justice when it comes to minorities. Yep. So I'm just going off of, like, I've
you're
never through,
you're
seen
going, it. You're going off history. History shows itself.
Okay. Off history. So that's me personally. Like, would I love to see him get you know, pay for what he did? It would shock me. I would be happy. It would shock me, but I can't go for off of
Jason,
what I haven't seen ever.
I agree.
I don't know. When you mentioned the two white women that were 52 years old, I'm just like, oh man. Like, man, come on. Like, you know, like that to me the writing's on the wall with that. Because I'm gonna be honest with you, when you was reading off all the jurors, it kinda took me back to when I watched the documentary on the OJ thing, and then the jurors came out and said why they picked what they picked, and I just don't see 15 people coming out of that room and saying that dude is guilty of doing it. Because even if you get to 14, I just feel like one of them 52 year old women gonna show their head at the end and be like, nope, you can't convince me that Officer Chavez was trying to kill that man. And there goes the mistrial, and we done wasted all this time, you know, on trying to get justice, and it's just another situation where we ain't gonna get it again. And so then now, I think Mom was bringing it out earlier. If it come back like I'm not guilty, just say come back I'm not guilty. I even think even in the mistrial, I think they gonna set this joker off.
Man, listen, set it off, man. Let me tell you. If you're not of a black descent or African American, close your door, put plywood on your doors, put plywood on your windows, leave town because it's going down.
Man, that's tough. Like, again, I don't believe that. I in my heart don't believe that they're gonna convict them. I really wish they would, but I just can't go off of what I've never seen. And then if we decide to set it off, like y'all already said, they got the whole downtown boarded up, looking like a boot camp down there.
Yeah.
So like people ain't gonna be able to get to, you know, tearing up downtown. So then what they gonna tear up? They gonna tear up their own neighborhood?
No, this time I think we're gonna be smarter this time around. And we're going to go, I'm just saying, I think we're going to be a little smarter, a little more educated. I think we're going to go into the suburbs and wreck shop. I hate to say that. I hate, you know, I don't like to see rioting. I don't like to see all that other stuff. I don't. I really don't. But at the end of the day, MLK said it. MLK said it the best. When you see riot, you hear the voice of the weak. You hear the voice of the suffering. You hear the, when you see riots, that's when you hear those voices. So, man, listen, I just pray and hope it'll be a mistrial. They found him guilty. So these people can just, even for the family of the George Floyd family, they need peace. They need peace with the situation. I hope they find peace in.
I'm going to say this, Lamar. I just came to the conclusion. Myron, you're right. It's not going to be a not guilty. It's going to either be a guilty or a mistrial. There's no way. It's either or. It's a mistrial or guilty. That's it. They're not going to find Buddy not guilty. Correct. Man. I agree. It's going to be a mistrial. Now, my thing is, like you said earlier, when you have a mistrial, you said the states can pick it up again. Now, let me ask you this. If it is a mistrial and the states pursue those charges, can the state be like, okay, we want a bench trial
right,
now?
Right, but then, but do you think the, like, so you think the judge going to convict them of murder? Like who are they in favor for? They still not in favor of the minority community. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see, I mean, those judges, these judges have not shown me that justice is their number one pursuit. Like, so if we leave it in a judge's hand, to me personally, I think this is another opportunity for America to slap everybody back in the face with a not guilty verdict or a mistrial.
Man, listen, it's been too much with, you know, just been too much with these court cases and how they handle these injustices of African-American people at the hand of the police. I just really think they get this right. I hope and I pray they get this one right.
Hold on, Jonathan.
Real quick,
man. So, like, this what irks me, man. Like, let me preface my point by saying, I really, but like Mont, how you say, I hope and I pray, like, when in your lifetime have you ever seen them get it right?
Yeah, but hey, you got to look at what happened, you know, what happened in the world. And they just won just the United States thing. When that officer took that man's life, this impacted the world. This wasn't just something that the United States saw. You know what I'm saying? It's impacted the world. So everybody was pleading and saw this injustice by this police officer, saw the injustices of America, saw the treatment of African Americans in America. So at the end of the day, it's just not that it just happened in America. This happened across, this would affect the world. The world saw this. The world. You know what I'm saying?
So two things real quick, y'all. This one on for everybody, and the second one is for Myra. The first one is, what's the agenda in America? Is it to uphold white supremacy no matter what? And number two is for Myra. I think it was real critical that they reinstated that third degree charge, because you can't tell a juror, now you don't have to prove intent. Now, if they didn't have that third degree, it'd have been kind of hard, like you said, Jason said, with them 50-year-old white women, because they're going to say, well, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to prove intent with third degree. So, you mean to tell me you're still not going to convict him, even on a third degree? Okay, that third degree, to me, was critical. So, those are my two questions, y'all, for the group. What is the agenda of America? Listen, is it to uphold white
supremacy? That's a good question.
No matter what? But
you got to look at throughout history, how will we be treated? We treated like one third of a person. You know what I'm saying? You got to look at it. You know, we had to fight everything. Had to fight for, you know, just to vote, we had to fight to just sit in the same table with, as white people. We had to fight for everything we got in America. So do you, you can answer that question yourself. You see right now, you can see in today, in the modern day, you got redlining, you got gentrification, you got all this stuff that say, okay, no matter what, I'm still going to suppress you all, no matter what. You know, even with the banks, African-American can't go into the bank and get a loan for their house or for their business. They go through leaps and bounds just to get that stuff. So at the end of the day, the question already been answered. Do they want to uphold white supremacy? White supremacy? Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, just look at what's going on. You know, you suppress African-Americans in one location of every state. It shouldn't matter. I don't give a care what state you go in the United States. You can find a black neighborhood. You can find poverty. Why is that? Why is every state that you go to, you see poverty? City and state. You see, you can go to an area of that state, of that city, and see poverty.
Poverty breeds criminal behavior. And I don't know why they don't see that link between poverty and criminal behavior. And I got to agree with you, Ma. This is my thing. People think everybody hates cops. That's not the deal. I think there are bad cops, and I think that a lot of people join law enforcement for the wrong reasons. They have vendettas, they were bullied, they're military with mental problems, and then they get on the force and they just want to, you know, they ready to go. They would think they're Rambo. But I think the bigger problem is the culture of law enforcement. And I think that law enforcement, you know, it comes from slavery. It comes from slave patrols. And so this notion of reforming police is a joke to me, because how can you reform something that is doing what it was intended to do?
Correct.
This ain't new. It has to be taken down totally. I don't think you can just reform it. And I think we should police our own communities. Like, if you go to certain Native American tribes, they police their own communities.
Right.
So I think, and then as far as Jonathan with the third degree murder, I agree with you, Jonathan. Third degree murder, I think that's, he has a better shot of being found guilty of third degree murder. He's not going to be found guilty of first. I highly doubt he would be found guilty of second. So they have a better shot at third degree.
Okay, well.
Yeah, and so I'll make this quick, Mike. First off, so I think if he gets third degree murder, obviously he's not going to get the amount of time that he deserves for the public lynching that he did. So, you know what I'm saying? I think if, on their part, like if he said,
I don't think they gonna get that to him though, Johnson.
They're not gonna give him that. You know what I'm saying? So
that still carries like 25 years.
Like think about the. Let's say if he gets 7 years. Let's say if he gets 10 years, and he's not gonna serve out all 10. He might serve 5 of it and parole the rest. And think about the effects that. Like the lasting trauma that incident caused. Like he publicly lynched a man on public for the world to see. And he can do 5 years for that. Like those 5 years that he gonna serve, it doesn't weigh to the trauma that people have, you know, endured. But just watching that film, you know, just watching it.
Yeah, that's right. True. Yeah, but that is true, Terrell. But as we wrap this podcast up, man, this was a great conversation, man. The conversation was great. And like I said before, I don't want to keep repeating, being repetitive in my thoughts and in speech, but I just think that I hope that they get it right. You know what I'm saying? I hope that they get it right. And the jurors, you know, come to a common ground or come to an agreement amongst themselves to get it right. Ultimately, you know, we just want justice. We just want justice for George Floyd. We want justice for his family. So if the juror can give those, can allow that to happen for the family, then that's cool. It's very unfortunately that this man took the knee to, you know, put a knee to this man's neck. It's very unfortunate that his mindset wasn't geared toward serving and protecting. He wasn't serving, neither was he protecting. As we look at the police officer, we serve and protect. He did neither. He didn't protect him, and he didn't serve him appropriately. And then the world saw that on display. And I just hope and pray, you know, that they get it right. And I really do. I hope they get it right. As we conclude this podcast, we're going to come to you guys again next week and with some more topics, another update with George Floyd, and another sports update and another current event update. I'm allow the guys to give their outro, and we see you again next week. My name is Lamont. Again, I'm the moderator, the host, and I got my fellas on here. I'm gonna let them outro, and I catch you guys next week.
Hey, this Terrell, man, I appreciate y'all tapping in, listening to us, man. We, you know, y'all are the driving factors for us, so we appreciate everybody who tuned in, and we just love y'all, man. Thank y'all for the support.
My name is Myron. Thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate the support, as Terrell said. Also, I just want to give a heads up, opening statements and the Derek Chauvin trial starts Monday, this coming Monday at 9 a.m. I'll keep everybody updated.
This is JC on. Just another week of enjoying this platform.
Continue to do
being
so.
Able to just conversate with these other young men across the world. So looking forward to next week as another week is continued.
So, Jonathan, I'm surprised you ain't got nothing really to say. I guess this conversation was really thick on you, huh, boy?
I mean, you do that, like, because I was trying to figure out.
Yeah,
you know,
it was. Sometimes, was like, well, we sometimes you just got to sit back and community. Relax.
And I was like, well, if I look cousin Jonathan trying to police some shit, if I got to whoop his ass, then what happens?
and with that being said, four dudes in America podcast, you can't get no better than that. All right, fellas.
All right.